You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. This past weekend, thousands of people made the trek to Yosemite Valley from around the world to marvel at the majesty of Yosemite Falls, El Capitan, and Half Dome. But just miles north, Yosemite's little sister, Hetch Hetchy Valley, sits submerged, a tribute to the 20th century's quest for man to dominate and even destroy nature in the name of progress. A new book by author Kenneth Brower, Hetch Hetchy, Undoing a Great American Mistake, tells the story of how the city of San Francisco destroyed this wonder of Yosemite National Park and the effort to bring it back. Mr. Brower joins us now on Valley Edition. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
I understand the push to dam the Tuolumne at Hetch Hetchy Valley actually began as a result of the San Francisco earthquake. Can you tell me a little more about how this effort began?
Yes, this was sort of the propaganda put out by the city of San Francisco. They used the 1906 quake as an excuse for Hetch Hetchy, saying that we needed a reliable source of water to fight the kind of fire that consumed the city after the quake. Well, it was really completely irrelevant. No source of water would have helped San Francisco. All the water mains were broken, gas mains were broken. That's what caused the fire. No matter where you got your water, that fire would have happened. So it was really just a sort of rationale to help San Francisco get this water.
Certainly there were voices against this push. Tell me a little more about the mood of the time when this was proposed.
It's very interesting. It was something I learned in the course of doing this research that I hadn't known before. This was a huge battle in the history of environmentalism. It absolutely preoccupied the whole nation. And what it really was a fight of the city of San Francisco really against the whole rest of the country. And if you read the editorials from the early teens, in wonderful New York Times editorials against this act, which was to impound water within a national park for a commercial purpose for the benefit of one city. And the whole nation, really, even get 40 miles away from San Francisco, and people were, and Californians were against this because they recognized that Yosemite National Park was theirs, and it belonged to the whole nation. And for it to be sort of preempted by one city made everybody mad. I suspect Fresno felt the same way. I know there was a lot of, if you read the old editorials in Sacramento papers back then, and Los Angeles papers especially, you realize that not only was the nation against this idea, but much of California was against it.
Now,
this fight was really almost a prototypic environmentalist battle. John Muir and William Colby and all the Sierra Club people who had sort of organized against this take of the national park really orchestrated the first campaign. They got the press interested. They wrote books. They brought people to the site so that the place would have a constituency of people who knew what was there and who cared about it. And in the end, they lost, but only because San Francisco did a better job of lobbying than they did.
Now, folks who remember Hetch Hetchy before it was dammed are unfortunately no longer with us today, but can you describe what Hetch Hetchy Valley was like and what one would see if one goes there today?
What Muir described it as is the second Yosemite, and it really was. It was eerily similar to Yosemite Valley, not quite as beautiful. You're sort of exaggerated there, but almost. A real second Yosemite. It's odd that the landforms even sort of echoed Yosemite. In Hetch Hetchy, there's an equivalent of El Capitan, and there's sort of in Kolana Rock in Hetch Hetchy, there's an equivalent of Cathedral Rocks or maybe Sentinel Rock in Yosemite. So the valley even follows sort of the same course. It was covered then by a meadow at the bottom and forest, and it is now underwater. And when that water falls, there's a bathtub ring all the way around. In 1954, my father ran up to, when the water was very low, it was a 180-foot bathtub ring around the thing. It was not at all the beautiful lake that San Francisco advertised.
Again, if you just joined us on Valley Edition today, we're talking with Kenneth Brower. He's the author of Hetch Hetchy, Undoing a Great American Mistake. Much of your book is dedicated to telling the story of how Hetch Hetchy was constructed, the political context of the day. There's some wonderful archival footage of Hetch Hetchy Valley before the dam, its construction, and the flora and fauna of the region. You also spend a great deal of time in this book talking about the path forward forward, and it's underscored in your subtitle, Undoing a Great American Mistake. We have seen dams removed in places across the country, including here in California. Hetch Hetchy remains a most controversial project. A few years ago, there was a issue on the ballot in the city of San Francisco for voters to ask for a feasibility study that failed. San Francisco prides itself on its progressivism and sustainability. Do you think San Francisco voters will ever come to terms with the seeming incongruity between their environmental goals and where their water comes from?
Well, that's a beautifully worded question, and it's a good one. I don't know, because San Francisco, for one thing, the pro-Hetch Hetchy forces, pro-dam Hetch Hetchy forces, will always outspend the environmental people who want to see this happen. There's another question, of course, is maybe we don't just go to San Francisco to get a resolution of this, because we know where people seem to have stood on this issue. It really is an issue for the whole nation. It's not Yosemite is the nation's park, and in fact, it has always been San Francisco against the rest of the nation. So I think maybe we spend less of our energy in San Francisco and more around the country to try to get this really big mistake reversed.
What would a path forward look like? You talk about a number of different alternatives and restoration, removal of the dam. It seems like any solution would have to make sure that there's still adequate water supplies for the city of San Francisco through some sort of means, and then certainly restoration of the habitat. In addition to removal of the dam, what would a path forward look like? Do we have an idea of what it would cost, and is it even feasible?
The cost estimates are all over the lot. The one option would be just to breach the dam and leave it. Not a desirable one to most people, but it would be an interesting monument to man's hubris to have this sort of a pyramid out there to show the mistake we once made. I think most people would rather see the dam go. It's easy to impound the water further downstream. San Francisco still would have access, and the plans that environmentalists have offered would still have access to Omni River water. It would just not be impounded in National Park. You'd impound it downstream in Don Pedro or other stories downstream. It would cost something to get rid of this. It was a wonderful piece of technology when it was designed. It's gravity-fed, so that water doesn't require pumps to get all the way down to San Francisco. It was a beautiful engineering scheme for its time. We're in a new time now, and we're in a time when lots of dams are coming out, none as big as this yet. But even the Bureau of Reclamation, our nation's great dam builders, has begun to see a rationale for taking bad dams out, dams that cause more damage than good. And many hundreds have been coming out around the nation. So that's sort of the way I see forward. This would be just another dam in that process of freeing rivers again. We have so few free-flowing rivers left in the United States, and there's this movement to get them flowing again, and it's a noble effort. Part of the end of the book, I had fun just trying to imagine what it would be like when Hetch Hetchy comes back. My own wish would be that we just let the river restore itself. There's a lot of people who would like to do hands-on restoration, and I think my own belief is that the river itself would bring back the organisms that need to be there, and we've seen that ecosystems are resilient, and I suspect that the valley would restore itself very quickly. A few species would need help. Maybe the black oaks there would need to be seeded, but otherwise stuff will come in. All the animals that used to use that flowing river would come back. All the birds that use the riparian habitat that would be restored would come back, and it would be a wonderful experiment to be around to observe.
Do you think Hetch Hetchy, the construction of this dam nearly a century ago, also maybe had an unintended consequence in adding even more momentum to the environmental movement that is still so powerful today?
That's another good observation, and it's true. I think it really, this defeat of Muir and his friends in the Sierra Club really led, really ended up by empowering that organization to become the most powerful environmental organization in the country. And that kind of defeat hardens people, and they learn from their lesson. In later dam fights, later fights against bad dams in the Southwest and dams proposed for Grand Canyon and Dinosaur National Monument, the Sierra Club won. And And I think they won out of a resolution that was sort of hardened in the crucible of that early fight for Hetch Hetchy. So, yes, I think it not only sort of empowered the Sierra Club, but the whole nation determined that this wasn't going to happen again. And, in fact, in 1916, 3 years after the Rager Act, which allowed this dam to happen, we had our national park system in place. This is, in many ways, was a response to this violation of our first national park, which was really Yosemite. So there were good effects of this loss.
Again, our guest today has been Kenneth Brower. He is the author of the new book, Hetch Hetchy, Undoing a Great American Mistake. It chronicles the construction of San Francisco's O'Shaughnessy Dam in Yosemite National Park, damming the Tuolumne River and inundating what many called a second Yosemite Valley. The book is available now on Heyday Books. Mr. Brower, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.